It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doty Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Doty Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Doty.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you live. Right here, it is 11.05 a.m. on Saturday, February 25th, 2023. This is your latest episode of the Don Doty Show. I want to thank you, as always, for joining me. Now, if you check out the synopsis of the episode, you will get the list of topics that we will be discussing. The big stories is obviously the update that about 2 weeks ago we talked about should be coming to a close, and it has, for the most part, and that's Jeff Hardy's DUI case in Florida. I have some legalese to go over with you that you should know about this case. It'll interest you a little bit. No, we were not going to give away the plate. We're not doing that. I ain't going to repeat the mistakes of Perry Saturn and Kamala, those that know what I'm talking about. We'll also talk a little bit about SmackDown last night. You know, if you go on social media, I don't know if it's intentional clickbait, or maybe there is a little bit of a valid argument. Was that Bray Wyatt at the very end of the Firefly Funhouse segment yesterday? Yeah, that was a hot mess. That segment was a hot mess. Dominic and Ray finally planting that, you know, fertilizer. Seeds were planted. Last night, fertilizer was added for their match at WrestleMania. By the way, we're going to keep the ratings, I think, on Mondays, because after Wednesday, when I talked about the idea of moving the AEW and NXT ratings to Wednesdays and focus there, I got so many DMs and emails like, no, keep it Mondays. Just do the weekend ratings, weekend ratings. Okay, so we're going to keep it Mondays. But I do have to say something. AEW broke a million viewers Wednesday. And, you know, I'm looking at the net in amazement, because since when is a million 10, a million 20 such a fabulous number? You know what I mean? Like, you want to reach for the sky. You want to try to maximize and, you know, to make it feel like, oh, everything is good again. Oh, they were never in trouble. I never said that AEW was in any trouble, but you're going to have your peaks and valleys. And, you know, a lot of people are giving credit to the huge announcement that Tony Khan was going to make. And I saw the rating, and I'm happy for AEW that they broke a million. Now the challenge is to increase that number. You know, Raw is getting over 2 million now. SmackDown at some points is at 2.7, 2.8 million. You know, you think about, and look, this is an important deal. I got the press release, the official press release about AEW All Access, and there is a comment in there that fascinated me. And it's not from Tony Khan, and it's not from anybody in AEW. There was a comment in there that fascinated me that I'm going to share with you in a moment. I didn't even think we were going to open up with this, but we might as well. You know, but the thing is that, you know, you want to maximize and you want to grow. There are a ton of viewers out there that are just not choosing to watch this product live in real time. That's where the money comes from. That's where these big TV deals are coming from. These big TV deals, $144 million, $1 billion, whatever sport you are, they want you to watch it right then and there live. They don't want you to watch it on YouTube. They don't want you to watch it on Hulu later on. They want you to, and that's how the advertising money goes up too. You know, the advertisers look and they see and they put their, you know, listen, and that's another thing too. You know, back in the day, I was always under the impression that advertisers can choose if slots are available where they want to be placed during a show. And when you see peaks and valleys, You know, I almost have a feeling that if it's still that way, especially with Raw, it's probably cheaper to advertise during hour number three than hour number one or hour number two. But check this out. The AEW announcement from Wednesday for All Access, that was the lowest rated quarter of the show. Now, it didn't do bad. I think it did like 933, but it was the lowest quarter of the show. Did people just give up, you know, during the show, like, oh, you know, what's this announcement? Oh, I'm tired, you know, and over 150,000, 200,000 decided, you know, I'll find out online what the announcement is. You know what, before we move on from that, let me just show you the press release, and I'll read you the comment that fascinated me. All right, TBS is greenlit its first new unscripted series of 2023, further expanding its AEW wrestling franchise with AEW All Access, a follow doc from the perspectives of its league's biggest stars. I think that's a little bit of a mistake there, friends. You know, I think some of the lower card guys and the guys that should be elevated, I think they should be featured. The new series, which was just announced during another red-hot episode of TBS's AEW Dynamite, is slated to premiere in this March. Billed as the ultimate behind-the-scenes experience for fans, the series will feature Adam Cole, Britt Baker, Sammy Guevara, Ty Conti, The Young Bucks, Saraya, Wardlow, Eddie Kingston, along with AEW CEO, GM, and head of creative, Tony Khan. We didn't get to the comment yet. Anybody on video is probably looking at it now. I'll get to it in a moment. Each episode will showcase AEW stars as they navigate the week-to-week challenges to remain at the top, and will track the rivalries between talent as they vie for fans' attention. Over the course of the series, viewers will get the chance to follow the contentious lead-up to AEW's major wrestling events and matches. AEW All Access will complement TBS and TNT's portfolio of top-rated wrestling content, including Dynamite and Rampage, respectfully. Okay, here is the quote, everybody. It is said by Jason Sarlanis, president of Turner Networks, ID and HLN Networks, linear and streaming. You know what his quote was? Check this. AEW has such an amazingly loyal and dedicated fan base that brings in more than 4 million viewers to TBS every Wednesday night. Is that what we chuckled at in the past? That if somebody clicks on TBS for 30 seconds or a minute and then decides, oh, what the fuck am I watching? That's credit? Imagine you're on eHarmony or you're on Match or you're on Tinder and you show your friends, look, 19,000 women checked out my profile and only 3 fucking responded. That means 18,997 said, No. 4 million? What does WWE bring in? Think about that. Seriously. If AEW averages 900,000 for a rating on Wednesdays and SmackDown is averaging 2.5, 2.6 million, are you telling me that almost 12 million people are stopping by, changing the channel, stopping for a minute? Oh, my God. Feed the ego to Tony. Oh, my God. I guarantee Tony's going to have that tattooed on his chest. He's going to have it tattooed on his chest. Some people are like, you motherfucker, I know where you're segueing to chest tattoos. Should we talk about it? Should we just get it out of the way? All right. We won't talk about the Firefly Funhouse segment just yet. I want to talk about Jeff Hardy in a moment. But I want to show you something. Because yesterday we had a little bit of fun online. And look, for my friends out there, I love the ones that know right away, oh, I know what that is. But if you do a search on Twitter, there are thousands of people doing, and some doing videos, YouTubes, that are trying to convince you that it's a different person. That it might have teased Bray Wyatt under the mask. Bray Wyatt was under Howdy's mask back in the day. Bray Wyatt was under this. You know, remember what I said, six shades of Bray. And yeah, six shades of Bray. Think about it. We're almost at the six shades of Bray. Now, if the six shades of Bray are going to come to life and actually tag team with him, you know, obviously other people are going to have to go under those outfits. But at the very end, we're just going to talk about the end right now. The very end of the segment, we saw this. We saw this. And Vincent of, formerly of Ring of Honor, immediately went on Twitter, and I can't remember what he said, but it might have had to do with a secret, and people ran with it. Oh my God, it's a different person. That's not Bray. Look at the eyes. It's somebody different. It's this and that. No, it's not him. It's not him. So I immediately noticed something right away. And I'm not going to lie to you. Some of you already know. I put it on Twitter yesterday because there were thousands of people that were writing, oh, it's a different person, different person. I put it on Twitter and I said, here, guys, take a look. And nobody gave a shit. Nobody gave a shit. Again, either you have to clickbait or you have to be controversial or you got to, otherwise nobody gives a fuck. So I took it down. And from now on, when I want to post something, I'm going to post it just in the YouTube community section. You know, I'll still post on Twitter to hype up my shows, but from now on, I'm just going to post shit on the community section here. I'd rather all of you take a look at it than these people online that'll look at it and won't say nothing. You know, I don't give a shit about likes or anything, but you know what they'll do? They'll see that. They'll realize, oh shit, look at that. And then they'll make their own. And then they're like, oh, give me 5,000 likes as a result of it. This was last night at the very end. Now, look at the chest. Look at the chest area. Now I want you to look at what I posted yesterday and pay attention to Bray Wyatt's chest. Now I will zoom in on this a little bit so you could get a better idea. Look at below the neck and look at that tattoo and then look at this. Ready? Look at this. Doesn't it look the same? Or does it? Some people who have DM'd me about this after I posted it said that if you look at the two, I don't know if they're supposed to be drops of blood next to what looks like almost like a butterfly. I mean, I don't know. I think he has, you know, like some type of wolf on his chest. But if you look at the two oval, you look at them here. Let me see if I could zoom in a little bit. I'm going to see if I could zoom in a little bit. I might not be able to. For some reason, camera doesn't allow me. Yeah, camera's saying, fuck you. But if you look at, these don't look painted. Those look just like outlines. But if you look at this, one looks like red, one looks black. So, you know, is it the same? Did somebody draw it? I don't know. I don't know. They don't pay me enough to, you know, to answer that. I just want to bring it to your attention that it's either Bray Wyatt, obviously, or WWE with that long-term booking and being, you know, integral to detail. You know, maybe. I mean, I'll tell you this much. If that ends up being somebody who actually, you know, that's not Bray Wyatt, wow, that was a fabulous job, man. But I personally think it's Bray Wyatt. I think ultimately someone else will be under the mask. And then someone will turn around later on and say, oh, look, it's a different tattoo. So I wanted to just show it to you so you could see it. Because, again, there's a lot of people online that will, you know, try to convince you that it's something that it's not. And I realized yesterday, I guess I was spoiling their party. That's why I got no reaction to it. So it's all good. It's all good. All right, let's talk about Jeff Hardy for a few moments. This is a big deal, and there's some little legalese that I want to attach to this. The DUI case is closed in the case of Jeff Hardy. This is the thumbnail that I posted for today's show. And the case was officially closed on Thursday. He pleaded no contest. which means that he's not admitting guilt and he's not admitting innocence. He's just accepting whatever the punishment is. Now, as we've talked about before, they were trying to work out a deal. That's what was going on. They were delaying and postponing because they were trying to work out a deal. Now, let me tell you what the deal was. I want to show you what Matt Hardy wrote, and then I want to tell you a couple of things that you may not know. First of all, he already spent 38 days in jail because of what went down. The court awarded him, one of his punishments was time served. So his jail time for this incident was 38 days. So he doesn't have to spend any more jail time. His driver's license, remember, my friends, it was already suspended. They have now suspended it for 10 years. I find that fascinating that they did not revoke it. Revoke means you have no license. Suspended for 10 years. So that is part of its punishment. And he has to pay back $4,586, which is fines. If you remember, we talked about the fines originally, and court costs. Court costs is not that much, but that is his deal. And 2 years probation. 2 years probation. Now, couple of things I want to get into. And some of you out there, props for asking a question. I love when people really think about everything. See, like the Kenny Omega story. You know, we talked about it on Wednesday, that Kenny Omega, that AEW extended his contract because he was out injured, which goes up until November. But the big question is, how are they treating his contract as an EVP? If he was injured but still working in the office, shouldn't that contract technically have expired already? Or did they work out an extension that, hey, since you're sticking around, you know, working as a wrestler, you know, why don't you, you know, we'll extend your deal until November? Nobody ever asked that question. Nobody even answered that question. So, all right, he's going to wrestle till November, but nobody even addressed what's the deal with his contract as an EVP. So a lot of people out there, they don't go the extra mile. With Jeff Hardy, with this, I give props to everyone out there who emailed me and asked this question. How can Florida suspend a North Carolina license? That's a very good question. Because the thing is that a lot of states treat crimes differently. A lot of states, you know, you might get suspended 30 days in one state. In another state, you might get suspended for a year. You know, you may have to, you know, go anything over a .08 in one state. In another state, it might be anything over a .06. I'm just using examples, you know, just rough examples. My point is that how did Florida suspend a North Carolina license for 10 years? Basically, the deal is that a lot of states are hooked up together now with their databases. It's state-to-state information sharing. Sorry, I'm getting text here. I got some work to do today. Insurance. But state-to-state sharing, information sharing. And what happens is that Florida's in close contact with North Carolina to basically tell them, you know, this is what this is, this is what this is. Now, North Carolina could turn around and add to this, you know, because at the end of the day, his driver's license was suspended in North Carolina. So North Carolina finds out that this guy went to Florida and drove anyway and was drinking, you know, they could turn around and say, hey, you know, no, okay, they suspend you for 10 years. We're going to revoke your license. So basically, they share information. And that's why, compared to like 10, 15 years ago, you know, I would have, I'm going to tell you straight out, legit, you know, a store that worked in my neighborhood, I'm not going to out the name of the store, wasn't anything affiliated with us, but a store that worked in the neighborhood, I used to insure the business. And some of the workers in the business came to me for car insurance way back when car insurance was still competitive. And there was at least one or two guys that every so often would come in with a different state license. First, it was a New York license. Then it was a Jersey license. Then it was a Texas license. Then it was a Georgia license. And, you know, I never asked until I saw, like, the Texas license. I'm like, why do you keep getting different licenses? And basically, I think the guy was an illegal immigrant. And because he didn't have a Social Security number, some states you can't get a driver's license. So when you run into problems, like when you get an ID from New York years ago, I don't think you had to provide your Social Security number on your paperwork. Now when you renew, one of the things you have to supply is a Social Security number or, you know, temporary, you know, ID number that you're given. So as a result, some people are forced to, and I'm sure you do a Google search, if you type in, you know, where can I get a driver's license without a Social Security number? I'm sure there's going to be all these fucking illegal immigration sites that are going to say to you, oh, do this, do this, do this. So a lot of these states, they do coordinate with each other to make sure that if somebody fucks up in one state, they can't just go to another state and run roughshod. So North Carolina and Florida were tied in with each other with this. So could North Carolina do more? Sure they can. Absolutely. Chances are this was discussed and resolved across the board. Jeff Hardy had some pretty damn good lawyers. But not only that, let's give Jeff Hardy credit. Let's give him credit. Let's give him credit. Now, remember this one point, though. I think it's always something you should always remember about this. His blood alcohol content was worse than Tammy Sitch's. Tammy Sitch killed a person. Thank God Jeff Hardy didn't kill anybody, injure anybody, or even himself. Thank God nothing happened. But just think about the fact that his blood alcohol content was worse than Tammy Sitch's. And he ended up with no additional jail time, 2-year probation, 10 years additional suspended sentence, or total of 10 years, and $4,500 in fines. Why? And he's had multiple DUIs. Why would you give someone that benefit of the doubt? Well, my friends, I want to introduce you to something called SCRAM. SCRAM, continuous alcohol monitoring. Now, that is this is not a screenshot of Jeff Hardy's foot. I want to make this clear. This is, I don't even think Jeff Hardy would wear sneakers like that. That's not Jeff Hardy's foot. Originally, I was going to put a foot of a woman on there just to be a prick. But no, this monitoring system, this SCRAM continuous alcohol monitoring, okay, this is very important because from what I was told, because remember, I had access to some documents because of the business that I'm in, and I did it the right way, and I requested it the right way, and I said why I was going to, you know, I was requesting it, but, you know, there were things that I never put public because I was advised to not put it public, and I'm glad that I didn't. But one of the things, and let me show you Matt Hardy's tweet. Okay, because Matt Hardy wrote this, and I quote, "Incredibly proud of my brother. For the last 9 months, he's worked extraordinarily hard on himself. He's in the best space I've seen him in decades. I'll always support him, believe in him, and love him. I'm excited for your new lease on life and where it takes you." All right. Jeff Hardy didn't just pay lawyers for the last 9 months. Jeff Hardy was doing everything he possibly can to resolve his issues with alcoholism. All right. As much as we give credit to Jimmy Uso, Jeff Hardy in this case deserves a lot of credit. That probably was his rock bottom. I think that was his rock bottom. When you have multiple infractions, when you're at the tail end of your pro wrestling career, and something like this will ruin whatever time you have left in the ring, and you have a family, you have a beautiful family, you know, this probably was Jeff Hardy's rock bottom. Jeff Hardy went to counseling. Jeff Hardy also, and I know what some of you are going to say, because the more I read about Scram, the more I read about this, the more I read about how this thing works, I see people already asking the same question that I ask myself over and over again. Why didn't they do that to Tammy Sitch a year or two ago? Why? You know, for people that don't know how that works, you strap it on your leg. It's almost like a home monitoring device. You ever hear when someone gets house arrest and they got to wear an ankle monitoring device? What that does is it's like every hour now. I don't know every little detail about it. I've never used it. But every hour, that device pulls sweat from your leg, and it examines the sweat for alcohol. If you have a beer, within an hour, that will pick it up. Some people who have used that and tested positive claimed that, oh, no, I accidentally drank some mouthwash. You would have to drink two giant bottles of mouthwash, I think, to equate what a beer or two would be. So this thing monitors you 24 hours a day. And when you put that thing on and you wear it for 9 months, and after 6 or 7 months, you go to court, your lawyer goes to court and says, my client has been wearing the Scram for the last 7 months, and he's not drank a drop of alcohol. He's doing counseling. He's doing this. He's doing this. This is what the courts now will use to avoid jail time. So when someone gets into a serious, this is across the board. This is not just Jeff Hardy. This is across the board for anyone. If a court feels, hey, this is your last shot. This is your last shot at freedom and avoiding jail time. You have to show them. And time, how many times we always say this with Jimmy Uso and others, time. Time is the only way to really show that someone has changed or someone has learned or someone has improved. You know, you can't just go out there and say it and have other people say it for you. Only time will tell. And now, after 9 months, it's shown Jeff Hardy has not drank. You know, and you do become chemically dependent on alcohol. Anybody that's ever experienced alcoholism or knows a close friend or a family member that's gone through it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your body craves it. You chemically become dependent on it. So this guy, give Jeff Hardy a hell of a lot of credit. As many times as he has fucked up, this time around, I think he hit rock bottom, and he has done everything that you could possibly do to show, look, I'm done with alcohol. I've done this. I've gone here. I've done this. I got a family. I got this. I have issues. He's got other health issues going on. Alcohol is not the answer. And the court sees that. And the court says, okay, all right. Still, you're not driving for 10 more years, you know, but we'll let you do this. You won't have to go to jail. You won't do this. And if I was him, you do not take that fucking thing off. Now, I haven't seen the actual court documents yet. When they become available, I will read them. And if there's anything else that I could share with you, I will. But I hope there's somewhere in that document that he's got to wear that device for at least 2 more years as part of the probation. At least for the probation. Now, look, we live in a free country. I know this sounds fucked up, but let's say they say he wears the device for 2 more years and his probation is clear and he doesn't have to wear it anymore. He could go out and get blitzed. He could go out and get drunk as long as he doesn't get behind the wheel. So am I saying that Jeff Hardy will never drink an ounce of alcohol ever again? No. You know, it's you have to, you know, avoid driving. You have to avoid driving. Now, look, if he has public intoxication, because he's had a couple of incidents. Remember on a beach somewhere? Didn't he, like pass out, like, in like, a bathroom area or steps or something? Wasn't that not too long ago? was it spring break or something? He was on a beach and he just passed out somewhere. So yeah, you could still get in trouble by drinking and not driving. But the most important thing is he's got to stay away from it completely. He's done so good over the last 9 months. You know, let's hope that he doesn't fall backwards. I mean, nobody is perfect. People make mistakes. But as of right now, you have to give Jeff Hardy the credit that he has, you know, really, really tried to do everything he can. You know, look, some people will do this just to avoid jail time. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to. So some people do go through these motions. Yeah, here's a good example. Somebody gets pulled over for DUI, and within 5 minutes, I'm going to go to rehab. If you don't have a drinking problem and you just went out with buddies and you got pulled, why would you have to go to rehab for something like that? You know, like people like publish, I'm going to rehab, because they think that if the court sees that, oh, you've cleared up your problem, but maybe you didn't have a drinking problem. Maybe you're just careless, you know? So, look, Jeff Hardy fucked up, and he fucked up several times. But he's got a new leash on life. He's got one last chance, and let's hope he doesn't blow that last chance. So good luck for him, man. Good luck for him. I don't like seeing anybody fail. Even my haters, I don't like seeing anybody fail. And, you know, it's interesting to talk about it. It's fascinating to see, you know, how one person is treated compared to another. But at the end of the day, you don't want to see them fail. So, you know, I'm wishing Jeff Hardy nothing but the best. As far as returning a pro wrestling, man, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, how much of the alcohol drinking is associated with pain? You know, people do drink to numb pain. You got to think about that. If he starts putting his body on the line like that again, does the temptations bring you back? Look at Bam Bam Bigelow, God rest his soul. I still have the episode, and it's ringing in my ear, when the Masked Maniac, Bam Bam Bigelow, when he was out of wrestling and he opened the burger shop and everything like that, he was selling, you know, these drawings and doing the 900 betting line. And then we heard that he was getting back into pro wrestling. I even think in Florida. I remember the Masked Maniac just telling him on the phone one time, he's like, you know, like, Scott, why get back into wrestling? Wrestling is where all your demons come out. You know, like, you have always, whenever you're in wrestling, there's always problems. You're doing so good right now. Wrestling was his life. He went back to wrestling, and it was his ultimate demise, indirectly, but still. You know, so, you know, we hope that Jeff Hardy can battle us. So, all right, Danny Hayfowl with a 5 spot, and a little rest in peace to Thick 44, YouTuber and fellow wrestling fan. Thick 44, why does that sound familiar? There was a guy that used to frequent our shows. I don't remember him as Thick 44 originally. He was like a Latino guy, probably in his 30s. And he died recently. And I wonder if it's the same person. Thick 44. Why does that sound so familiar? Dan, don't super chat it again, but I'm gonna look later on. But yeah, rest in peace, Thick 44. Yeah, that sounds so familiar. And the reason why I would always remember 44 is because Reggie Jackson's my favorite wrestler. So anybody has 4-4 or 4-4-4-4. If you remember the hotline days, you know, that'll always stay in the back of my mind. So we'll see. It sounds so familiar. All right, let's move on. Let's get into some better, happier news. We got to give some congratulations to Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville got engaged. And yes, they all run to people. You all run to people. I mean, look, these are celebrities. So, of course, they need the celebrity exposure to it. Can't just do it in the privacy of, you know, your own little personal world. So I'm not going to crap on Sonya Deville, but she proposed. and she and I think her name is Tony. Her fiance's name is Tony, and she said yes. So that is her on her knees, and that is her putting the ring on, and that is them with the engagement kiss. So congratulations, congratulations. You know, me, I'm approaching 6 months being married. Marriage is a wonderful thing, and very cool, very cool. Sonya Deville got engaged. So, all right. Some news I think it's worth talking about. On Wednesday, I gave you some, I wouldn't call it exclusive. I think some of it was common sense, but still it was news that I had talked to someone who I trust within NXT, and we were going over a bunch of names that were being considered to the main roster. And the one woman that was at the top of the list that we talked about Wednesday that WWE is seriously considering bringing to the main roster was Zoe Stark. We had this conversation on Wednesday. Well, it came out, I think yesterday morning, that she is actually working the SmackDown, well, actually the Super Show events this weekend in Illinois. And get this, she is actually going to be in a triple threat match against Sonya Deville and Charlotte Flair. They actually are putting Zoe Stark right into the mix with Charlotte Flair. So I wanted to share that with you because obviously PW Insider will get all the credit for it, which is cool because I do this for all of you. I don't do it for the net. I do it for La Nostra Familia here. So Zoe Stark is going to be working the house shows this weekend. And, you know, speaking of house shows, basically what WWE is going to do is they're going to segue from Sammy and Roman Reigns to Sammy and Solo Sikoa to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa to the Usos and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I know that sounds confusing, but on SmackDown last night, we had almost like a repeat of, what was it, 2 weeks ago? It was a repeat from 2 weeks ago. Hey, have you talked to your brother? No, I haven't talked to him since last week. I haven't talked to him. And, you know, I text him. He didn't respond. I'm like, oh, we're hearing that same shit again? You know, but Jimmy Uso comes out there yesterday on SmackDown. And, you know, he's cutting a promo. And he's talking at Jay that he want. You know, he's trying to, you know, resolve whatever the situation is, whatever the problems are, let's resolve it face-to-face in the ring. Before Jimmy Uso came out, he's in the back with Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman says to Jimmy, he says, why don't you go out there and resolve it yourself? Because if you don't handle it this week, the Tribal Chief will be on SmackDown next week. And if you cannot resolve your issues with Jay, you can't fix that problem with Jay, Roman will fix it next week. So that's leading to next week. So now Jimmy Uso yesterday comes out cutting a promo. And for some reason, Sami Zayn always has to like jump the guardrails. He's got to show up like hiding in a hoodie. You're on a fucking roster. You quit the bloodline. You didn't quit SmackDown. But for, you know, for some reason, oh, he's like, you know, he's not supposed to be there. So anyway, he hits the ring, Sami Zayn, and he's, you know, cutting a really good, passionate promo with Jimmy Uso. Come on, we were buddies. You know, everything with feeling Usy and everything, they were, remember the storyline, everyone. He was tight with Jimmy, and Jay was the one that was always against Sami, and now it's the opposite. And while this is going on, we then see Jay Uso in the crowd. So Sami Zayn looks away for a minute, and here comes Jimmy Uso wailing on Sami Zayn. And basically, Sami Zayn fought back, hit a Huluva kick on Jimmy. Solo Sikoa ran out, so Sami Zayn runs back into the crowd the opposite direction, and Jey Uso Sami Zayn shared a look for a moment. So now, next week, Roman Reigns comes back. Roman Reigns will address Jay in some way. This will lead to Sami and probably Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens wants to ruin the bloodline as much as Sami does. And this will lead. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a televised SmackDown match or if it's just going to be house shows. Maybe they'll do it on house shows for that week and then do it the following week. But we should see Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And then you get the twist with the Usos getting involved in some capacity. And ultimately, Jey Uso is going to have to decide against Sami Zayn. Because, like I said, they're not going to go into WrestleMania with, you know, the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Uso for the tag titles, where, you know, Sami Zayn doesn't want to take Jay's title, and, you know, but they're going to, you know what I mean? There'll be awkwardness in the ring, absolutely. I mean, when they first lock up, there's going to be some emotions being shown, but it's the only way to go. Jey Uso, the final nail in this chapter, other than them winning the titles from the Usos, is Jey Uso, you know, breaking Sami Zayn's heart. I don't even want to call it breaking his heart at this point. I call it more stabbing him in the heart. He's going to stab Sami Zayn in the heart. He's not going to break his heart. Break his heart sounds like soap operas. Oh, she broke his heart. She said no. He said no. Oh, he broke his heart. Emoji broken. No. Stab him. Is that how I look? If I ever stab someone, you think I bite my lip like that? I feel like a beaver. So, yeah, Jey Uso's going to stab Sami Zayn. Not physically, but yesterday on SmackDown, we had a fun confrontation between Dominic Mysterio and Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair was going to have a face-to-face with Rhea Ripley. Now, earlier in the night, Rey Mysterio was being interviewed and about his upcoming match with Karrion Kross. Santos Escobar, who is acting more like a face right now, not expected to turn on Rey, but they are preparing a Dominic Mysterio versus Santos Escobar match, just so you know. But Santos Escobar comes in and he talks about respect and the mask and Rey Mysterio. And then this picture says 1,000 words, everyone. Tell me this picture doesn't say 1,000 words. So Santos is like, oh, God, the fuck are you doing here? And Dominic is ready to be cocky. Rhea Ripley is like, oh, I can't wait to see this one. And Rey's like, oh, oh, Dios mío. Oh, Dios mío. So Dominic, you know, talking about his deadbeat dad, talking about Santos Escobar. And then what I found funny was when Santos Escobar was about to get into the face of Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley gets in the middle. And if you look closely, Santos is not even looking at Rhea Ripley. It's kind of funny because, you know, it's just this competition. And Dominic being chicken shit Dom, that's the Dom that I want, man. I'm telling you, this guy should have been like most improved wrestler of the year. We don't include NXT because NXT is still minor leagues. I don't think it's fair to compare NXT stars to WWE and AEW stars. But as far as progression from 1 year ago, this guy has it. This guy has it. And then afterwards, this is my son. This is my son. Santos is basically telling Rey, like, why don't you just slap the shit out of him? Oh, this is my son. This is my son. So, you know, that's what happened. So what ends up happening later on, Karrion Kross has his match against Rey Mysterio. Rey's about to do the 619, and here's Dominic blocking it. And Rey gets distracted, Cross with the Cross jacket, and Rey taps out. The only thing I didn't like about this is right after Rey taps out from the Cross jacket, like, he was acting like nothing happened. And why? Because we needed the camera shot. We need the teaser. Dominic is pushing his father, you know, shoving him, pie-facing him. Do something. Do something. You know, and Ray is about to hit him. And then they have the face-to-face, which you know you're going to see this picture again 1,000 times. And Ray walks off. But the point is that we are finally getting the fertilizer for all the seeds planted for Dom versus Ray. You know, I'm very surprised Dominic Mysterio has not gotten any awards. Now, look, as far as these Wrestling Observer Awards, I'll comment Monday on them. I feel like I say the same thing every year, but I'm going to say something different this year. And I think it'll shut a lot of people up. If you want me to give you a little teaser right now, I'll give you a little teaser, okay? All right. I watched people. I'm not even going to put this in the synopsis, okay? But I watched people tweet 5, 10, 20, 30 times about Tony Khan winning Booker of the Year. People getting into fights with people over this. People trolling people over this. I've seen thousands of threads of people writing this. I didn't write a damn thing about it. You know why? Because if you look at that result again, Tony Khan is Booker of the Year. It was like 415 votes. People are taking polls that have voted. We have millions of fans watching wrestling. And because 415 felt that Tony Khan was Booker of the Year, people are losing their shit. If this was a poll that had tens of thousands of votes and people in the business, I would feel otherwise. These are readers of Dave Meltzer's wrestling newsletter. I am a subscriber. I could have voted. I don't vote on these things. And Dave knows his audience. Dave's audience likes what Dave likes for the most part. Of course you're going to see favoritism, but to lose your shit because 400 people voted for Tony Khan when there are millions and millions of fans. What's worse about the goofiness that, oh, WWE was the worst promotion of the year? That's goofy. That's ridiculously stupid. WWE is the worst promotion of the year. You know, no MLW, no none of these others. You know, I'm not saying MLW is the worst, but you look at the futility of some others and how far they've fallen. I think that's a little different. But what's worse than goofy shit like voting WWE worst promotion of the year is the goofiness from the people that are angry from it. You're getting angry because a couple of hundred people chose something that you disagree with. A couple of hundred people, everyone. We're not talking thousands. 415 people. That's why I don't pay attention to it. I'll share it here, and I'll give you, you know, some of my thoughts. We'll talk about it Monday. But to those out there that are really angry over it, go eat a Snickers. Snickers truly satisfies. Seriously, go eat a Snickers. I heard WrestleMania is going to be sponsored by Snickers. For now, these stupid rumors that some people in WWE are worried that Vince is back, go eat a fucking Snickers. Go eat a goddamn Snickers. If you're that worried that Vince is back, then you're obviously doing something wrong. You ain't clicking. Go eat a fucking Snickers. All right. The Wyatt segment yesterday. Now, I'm not doing video clips anymore. Maybe I'll splice in some audio to photos in the future because, you know, the YouTube algorithm shit is crazy. You know, 5 seconds is the cutoff, but you hit 6 seconds and then sometimes they want you to remove 10 seconds and it fucks up the show. So yesterday, this is a little pictorial montage of what we had yesterday on the Return of the Firefly Funhouse. So we get the house. We see on the TV somebody playing with Undertaker figures. This is going too fast. Hold on. I got to slow this down. Let me slow this down. Wow, that's a very fast 4 seconds. Jesus. All right. Let's slow it down. All right. So now, hold on. There we go. That's better. All right. So we got the Firefly Funhouse. Looks pretty much the same. We see the television, somebody playing with Undertaker figures. Then we see Bray Wyatt and Ramblin' Rabbit, and they're spoofing a Firefly Funhouse news. Look at Bray Wyatt. He's watching himself challenge Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Oh, here's Bobby Lashley. I love the drawing. Raw last Monday, making fun of Bobby Lashley. Then Bray Wyatt, here's where it falls off the rails. He's doing the news. Uncle Howdy is doing the fucking weather. Uncle Howdy is doing the weather, everyone. Uncle Howdy, can you keep a secret? Using the Price is Right font, can you keep a secret? Well, can you? Look, still to come. 10 p.m., 11 p.m., can you keep a secret? 12 a.m., well, can you? And then we get somebody open the door, and we get some little, you know, sci-fi effects. And then we finish with, which was the old Howdy mask, just in red lighting. I don't think it's a new mask. It might be black now, because remember the original mask was silver. So now we may have a black version of this mask. And as we said at the beginning, you know, the tattoos, you know, you ask yourself, what's the deal with the tattoos? Is it Bray Wyatt or is it not? You know, you be the judge. Look at the center of the chest. Look at the center of the chest and look at that again. Is it the same? Is it the same? Now, you know, somebody may say, well, the butterfly looks a little stretched. Believe me when I tell you, if I had a tattoo when I was younger and then had it now, something tells me that the names would be a little bit stretched. Like if the tattoo only like took up this area, now it'd be like that. So is it Uncle Harper? Don't know. Don't know. But just remember the six shades of Bray. That is the phrase that I coined when, you know, within the first couple of weeks when he came back. Each one of these characters represents a different side of Bray Wyatt. Six shades of Bray. But again, if Bray is going to wrestle in tag teams or trios or, you know, four on fours, these alternate egos, these alternate personas, probably a better way to put it, have to come to life, which means somebody has to fill that role. So, you know, I think everybody agrees he needs a faction. I preferred early on that Bray Wyatt do his own thing. You know, do his own thing. But, you know, you also think about, like, I hate comparing The Undertaker, and The Undertaker even says it, and I think Bray Wyatt doesn't want to be compared to The Undertaker, but there were points that The Undertaker did have a faction. He had the corporate ministry, the Ministry of Darkness. Undertaker, at times, was you know, unified with other people. So right now, because Bray, you know, and yes, he has a finger injury, but I think people are a little bit down on how Bray is used. And you could only imagine what this contract negotiations were. Listen, you come back, you know, you'll wrestle a couple of novelty matches. We'll do like, you only have to wrestle like once a month or twice a month. And, you know, like you almost feel now that whatever the contract was negotiated, it was for very, very few matches. It was more, look, we'll focus on sci-fi and, you know, creativity. And look, some of it is pretty damn good. I'm entertained by it. But if Bray Wyatt is going to, it's getting old for a lot of people. Me, I'm still fine with it. Yesterday was a hot mess. Yesterday was like open up an antipasto salad and, you know, there's like a lot of like chunks of things that you don't know what the fuck they are. Is that turkey? Is that cheese? You know, like, it was a mess yesterday. And the shirt that he was wearing yesterday, some of you asked me what that was. That's David versus Goliath, everyone. That is David holding the head of Goliath. Will that mean Bobby Lashley's head? I don't know. Some people still think it's going to be the Wyatt family versus the Hurt Business, which I don't know, man. I don't see it. I don't see it. I really don't. I don't, just not feeling that. But look, hey, you know, did you ever think that Bray Wyatt was going to feud with LA Knight? I know the fucking Coke match, the Mountain Dew match, whatever that shit was, the Pitch Black match. I know it disappointed a lot of people because I think people forgot that it was a gimmick match to hype up a product and not just, you know, a WWE creative idea that could, you know, be repeated in the future. You know, now we heard that Cinnamon, they're going to have something related to Cinnamon Toast Crunch at WrestleMania. Did you hear that one? What are you going to do, fighting a bowl of cereal? You know, I mean, you know, maybe if it was New Day with the Bootios back in the day, but, you know, I think, but leading up to it, LA Knight was great on the mic. Feuding with Bray Wyatt, sometimes I felt LA Knight actually had a little bit of an upper advantage on the mic. Yesterday on SmackDown, LA Knight having a match against Kofi Kingston and losing, and LA Knight comes out there, cuts a promo, and he says that he didn't come to WWE to make a WrestleMania moment. He came here to make money. And he said that when he goes to WrestleMania, you can't have an LA WrestleMania without LA Knight. And no, he's not going to have a WrestleMania moment. WrestleMania is going to have an LA Knight moment. This proceeds to bring out the New Day. They make fun of LA Knight. They make fun of his vest, saying it's fake leather. LA Knight saying, hey, Kofi, how did Kofi Mania work out for you? I think it worked out pretty good, despite the Brock Lesnar loss. But, you know, they start making fun of each other, and this leads to a match. Xavier Woods with the trombone, and ultimately, it was a little goofy if you watch it. A little bit timing was off as well. LA Knight climbs the middle rope, and he's looking at Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods blows the trombone, supposed to distract LA Knight for a few extra seconds, and Kofi hits the Trouble in Paradise, gets the win. So, you know, where this goes, you want to know something? You know what I would like to see? No joke. I would like to see Miz TV on Monday reveal that Miz is co-hosting WrestleMania. I would like LA Knight to also co-host WrestleMania. Maybe you have Miz on night one and LA Knight night two, or you have them both. Because I think it would be pretty entertaining to see LA Knight and The Miz go back and forth a little bit. So that would be me. I would like to see The Miz and LA Knight co-host WrestleMania. I think that would actually be a little bit fun. It might be a little stupid for some people out there, but I think it'll be fun overall. Yesterday, Shayna Baszler beat Natty in about 3 minutes. Not much there. Ronda was in Shayna's corner. Tegan Knox was in Natty's corner. Now, people were reporting yesterday that they was going to do a Tegan Knox injury storyline yesterday. They were 1 week late, 1 week early, I should say. Everybody was saying, oh, last night, you know, expect an injury angle. No, it's going to be next week. Tegan Knox, because Natty had nobody watching her back, why Natty would feel she needed somebody to watch her back is kind of goofy. But because nobody was watching her back and she wasn't cleared to wrestle until late yesterday, Tegan Knox says, I'll watch your back. So after Shayna literally knocks out Natty in the face and then puts the armbar on her, Ronda Rousey hits the ring, and they're about to double-team Natty, and Tegan Knox awkwardly knocks Ronda on her ass. And I thought it was funny. Ronda Rousey, because you know how Tegan Knox with the rainbow colors that she wears? You hear Ronda Rousey outside the ring say to Shayna Baszler, like, who's that? Who that? And Shayna's like, that's Tegan Knox. And she's like, oh, hey, Skittles, you're going to taste the rainbow next week. I thought that was funny because she does look like a pack of Skittles. So, yeah. So next week, we'll probably see Tegan Knox get the shit beaten out of her. Somebody going to fuck up Tegan Knox next week. So, you know, as we said earlier, you know, and we kind of got off topic with it, Dominic Mysterio had a fun segment with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair's in the ring expecting Rhea Ripley, and Dominic shows up instead. And, you know, Dominic, you know, he's like giving a little bit of flattery to Charlotte Flair. She's a beautiful woman, you know, and beautiful this. And, you know, then he's talking about strength. He's talking about Rhea Ripley. And he's almost insinuating that when Rhea Ripley hugs him, when she grabs him, she literally breaks his back. We get a little bit of I guess it was supposed to be like a sexual innuendo, but, you know, Dominic was talking about Rhea, and Charlotte Flair was like, I have a real Latino at home with some thick accents. She looked down a little bit, but it was supposed to be accent, you know, like the way he talks and the way he acts and everything. But Dominic holding toe-to-toe with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair, sometimes when she cuts promos on women, she can eat you up and spit you out. But Dominic leading to, you know, you and I have a lot in common. You know, I'm a third-generational wrestler. You're a second-generational wrestler. We both exceeded our fathers, you know, and he's trying to lead to the deadbeat dad stuff. And you got to be careful because they don't want to really go there with Ric Flair anymore, especially Ric Flair. Today he turned 74. Is it 74 or 79? Why does 74 sound young? I think it might be 74. Yeah, no, if he was 78 years old, I think people would have been like, no fucking way is he wrestling at almost 80. It's got to be 74. Yeah, Adrian says 74. Thank you, Adrian. But so they do walk lightly with Ric Flair on TV now, if you notice. And look, Triple H is running a thing. Triple H loves the guy. So, you know, when Dominic is trying to throw a little shade towards both dads, Charlotte's like, yeah, but I love my dad. And they go toe-to-toe, and Charlotte, like, throws the title down and, you know, acts like she's going to put hands on Dominic. And then Rhea Ripley's music hits. She gets in the ring. And then she and Dominic back off. Don't say a damn thing. So now, you know, we find out next week Rhea Ripley, I think, is going to face Liv Morgan on SmackDown. So something is going to, wouldn't be surprised if we get the fruit roll-up finish. Maybe Charlotte comes out, distracts Rhea Ripley, and Liv Morgan gets the win. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, those fruit roll-up distraction wins happen a lot more than you realize. And then next week, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to take on Natalya and Tegan Knox. You know, they got a lot of women's matches scheduled for next week. Raw, we got a few, three, I believe at least three. Asuka's taking on Carmella. We have Candice LeRae against Piper Nevin. And then we got Lita and Becky Lynch taking on Damage Control for the tag titles. So, you know, they listen, I don't think, you know, some people are probably going to say, oh, yeah, Nikki Bella bringing up, you know, the Raw 30 is forced WWE's hand. No, I don't think anything has changed as far as how we're getting the women on TV. But we have three matches advertised. And Raw usually averages 6 to 7 matches. So, yeah, so I'm going to start bringing this home because, believe it or not, I have to drive my wife. She's getting a haircut at 12:30. She's not getting a haircut. She's getting them all cut. So, you know, I'll put the show online for audio and Patreon when I get back. But two other things I wanted to bring up. Got to give credit to WrestleNomics. Trust me, I did my digging. I couldn't find it anywhere. I did my research, couldn't find it anywhere. So you got to give, you know, some people report something and then you find that, you know, like good, Forbidden Door 2. That's a great example. Wednesday, some schmucknews.com tries to claim, oh, our sources tell us that Forbidden Door is taking place on June 24th, 2023, you know, exclusive, buy my membership. And then we find out that, no, it was Spectrum Cable that posted live events leading up into July, and they posted Forbidden Door 2 for that date. So, but this, WrestleNomics, they definitely got it on their own. WWE is on course to have two premium live events in May. Backlash, right now it could be just Backlash, not WrestleMania Backlash, but Backlash will take place in May, and also King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring. So that is also taking place in May. Now, there is no word if either one of these events are going to take place in Saudi Arabia. If I'm a betting person, I think King of the Ring could happen in Saudi Arabia. It only fits, you know, the pomp and the circumstance. You know, oh, we will award the king. We will award the queen. Remember with Zelina versus Doudrop in the finals? You know, oh, and the crown prince was able to have a hand into who got chosen queen. And I feel bad because you think that crown prince looked at Doudrop's like, let me think about this for a minute, you know? So I wonder if one of them's going to be in Saudi Arabia. The only reason why I'm not sure is because both events are scheduled for the weekend. And as far as I know, Saudi Arabia, have they ever done an event on a Saturday or a Sunday? I don't think so. I think all the events have happened during the week. And I wonder, listen, I don't know much, but I know I love you. No, I hate that song. I heard it the other day in a dentist's office. It pissed me off. I don't know much, but I know I love you. Oh, fucking me. I don't know much about Saudi Arabia other than the basics, obviously. But I wonder if there's some religious observances on the weekend that prevents or is against having this type of leisure activity. I'm not sure. But that's something that you should keep in mind because as of right now, both events are scheduled for the weekend. Now, there is a little controversy because one of the weekends is Memorial Day weekend, I believe, and that's when usually AEW does their pay-per-view. So, you know, it is what it is. But remember, most people watch WWE through Peacock. It's $9.99 a month. It's no longer, oh, I got to pay $60 for AEW and $40 for WWE. Oh, I got to choose one or the other. No, I don't believe that shit anymore. If you have Peacock for the whole fucking month, you know, it's $2.50 a week. So if you got an AEW pay-per-view the next day, you know, don't give me, oh, well, you know, the numbers are down because, you know, people had to choose WWE. It's not true. And last but not least, I don't have the picture. I forgot to download it. Mercedes Moné has hired the UTA, the United Talent Agency, to help her get movie roles, commercial roles. Okay, I'm going to wrap up in 5 minutes. Movie roles, commercial roles. It's getting antsy. I legit have to drive her to get a haircut. I wouldn't lie to you. I got to go to somebody's 50th birthday party tonight. Got to wear a suit. I'm not going to break anything. But she hired the UTA, which every time I hear it, I feel like it's like urinary tract infection. But she hired a UTA, United Talent Agency. If you go to their website, they hired Maria Menounos. That's how you pronounce her name. Very recently, they have a ton of people hired. Their job is to try to get them more commercials, TV, movie, speaking engagements, things like that. You know, I don't know how long the agreement is for, but, you know, do I think this could hinder her return into WWE? No, not necessarily, because, you know, some of these projects, you know, if WWE inks a new deal with Mercedes down the line, you know, I don't want to say it's going to be the John Cena deal, you know, where she could go and leave for Hollywood for this and that, but, you know, she might be more on a part-time basis, not like she used to. But you got to remember, too, you know, let's see what demand she's in. I'm not trying to make fun of Mercedes, but you know she's got that lisp issue. She ain't cutting in no Mr. Peanut or car commercials like John Cena does. I mean, if you really listen to her closely, I mean, is she really going to start cutting commercials for stuff like that? I don't think so. You know, so I think maybe more in movie roles. If we were in the 1910s and it was silent film still, she'd be perfect, man. She'd be perfect. Instead of even saying it, just the text goes on the screen. You know, I'm going to beat your ass. And then I'm going to take your Model T Ford. You know, like, she doesn't have to say much. But, again, not making fun of her, but it's something you have to point out. You know, like, she's got that little bit of a speech impediment. And, you know, maybe she can, you know, read something dictation, you know, and they could tweak it. But, you know, I think it's more of probably movie roles. And, you know, but you know what? I want to see the movie that she just did. In, what was it, Boston? I want to see the movie that she was in. I want to see how she does. You know, maybe when you could ad lib a little bit more, maybe that makes it a little bit easier. I think sometimes when you have that impediment, you have to think a little bit before you say something. I think that kind of screws up some people as well. So she definitely has every right to go all in on herself. She's got worth, man. She definitely has worth. But UTA, you know, and she's not just affiliated with UTA. She's affiliated with like two or three other places. So, you know, let's see what opportunities come up for her. You know, listen, women's wrestling is doing just fine right now. She's in doing a New Japan thing for a little while. It's fine. I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, I don't have to see her against Jade Cargill, and I don't have to see her against Bianca Belair, and I don't have to see her against Camille. She's wrestling a little bit. That's good enough for me. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. And I want to thank you, as always, for the support. Now, if you are interested, I can't believe how fast this freaking week went by. We were just talking about Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes and all that other stuff, which may actually go down next week. I will be here Sunday night at 8:05 for the sit-down. So if you have any questions, any topics, I'm sure these Meltzer Awards will be brought up a little bit more tomorrow. If you have a particular category you want me to react to, bring it up tomorrow. Be prepared. So I basically show up on Sundays with a blank piece of paper, and you basically choose all the topics and the questions. Doesn't have to be questions. You all could choose the topics of what we talk about. And after about 60 to 90 minutes, we end up with a really, really fun show. And it's cool because all the discussions are based on what you give me, not based on what I see online that we should talk about. So, yeah, grab a cannoli tomorrow, grab a cup of coffee, and join me. And if you enjoyed tonight's show, you know what to do. And, yeah, tell a friend. Tell a friend that DT will not quit. He will not give up. He will not raise the white flag. I'm still here, and we are still killing it. You know, and I appreciate all your support, whether it's video, whether it's audio, Patreon, YouTube. I appreciate it more than you know. So everyone have a great rest of your weekend, and I am out of here.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.